You are listening to a podcast from the New York Oracle User Group. The information given here is provided on an as-is basis. The presenters, as well as the officers and steering committee of the New York Oracle User Group, disclaim all warranties, express or implied, with regard to this information, and will not be responsible for any loss or damage arising out of the use of any information contained in this presentation.
We're happy to have back, giving the keynote today, Rich Nimick, who's the president of Tusk. Do we still just call it Tusk? Okay, president of Tusk. Rich is the president of Tusk, known pretty much worldwide as a leading authority on database administration. I've got a whole bunch of his books on, we've got the 10G Performance Tuning Tips and Techniques book, which came out 2007, following up the Oracle 9i Performance Tuning Tips and Technique book, which came out a couple years, 4 years or so before that. Rich has been president of the IOUG. He's vice president for the RAC-SIG within the... Not anymore. We'll just cross that out of the bio. He had been president of the RAC-SIG of the IOUG and is currently busy running the Midwest group. Yes, got some more time on his hands now. He was one of the first Oracle certified master dudes, along with Paul. Well, we've said that about Paul enough. And has talked about Oracle and other topics. We've had Rich give talks here that weren't precisely Oracle-centric. Hundreds of times, millions of places around the world. And we're always happy to have him back and talking today about the best Oracle Database 11G new features, which... hopefully we'll get some of the 90% of us who haven't gotten there yet motivated to move along. So I'm going to stop my little recording thing here and see if we should have well over 8 hours left and hand it over to Rich. How you doing today? So how many people are awake yet? I was like awake when my plane landed. It was a little windy. Hit the runway. I think they thought the runway was about 20 feet lower than it actually was. So I used this old term I once heard where somebody made a really bad landing and everybody walked off the plane quietly. And this like 80-year-old lady stopped because the pilot was kind of like hiding in the cockpit. And she goes, "Excuse me, are you the pilot?" And he's like, "Yeah." She goes, "I was just wondering, have we landed or were we shot down?" So you can use that if you're ever there. How many people want to make an impact in the world? I asked that once given a commencement. The whole audience, all their parents, it was like 3,000 people were there. Everybody there wanted to make an impact in the world. Why is it so hard to make an impact in the world? And the answer is because you don't really realize when you're doing it. When you're building a system, when you're building the world, you're building a company, you're making an impact in the world. What's the key to success and what's the key to making an impact? Benjamin Franklin said, it's being at that intersection at the right time in history and the right place. Let me tell you something. You are at the right time in history and you are at the right place. Never can anybody in this world make an impact like you can make an impact with this product. You can take the top 1 million Oracle databases. Top 1 million. Put them in one Oracle database today and they would fit. Given that you had the hardware. I think IBM and Sun are thinking about that merger to be able to do this. Provide this hardware for you. But how can you do that? You have to take the time to learn the features and implement them. A lot of people are running 10G. They're not implementing features that were in 8i. They're like, I don't have time. The market's going too fast. I got Y2K. And then you blink, as it says in the Pink Floyd song, 10 years have got behind you. Where did they go? Take the time to make an impact. Take the time to look around and see where you can make the impact. Nobody can make an impact like technology. Make sure you take that time. So what's the key to success? Be in the right place at the right time. Use the right tools. When you look at a great carpenter, he's not using a handsaw and a hammer and a screwdriver. He's using the best tools that are out there. Think like a carpenter. Use the best tools that are out there. And I'm going to show you some of those. Michael already asked this. And let me think before I go too far. Michael, Carol Lee, Paul, Michael Magna. Everybody on that slide? I came by. I didn't know if I'd remember how to get here. So I thought, oh, I'll just go by a couple hours before I speak. 2 hours before I spoke, and I kind of made my way here drinking a cup of coffee. I think my hair was like straight up, wearing my Tom's Restaurant t-shirt. And I walk in, I go, oh, there's the place. And I go, you know, I'm looking, I see the little NYOUG sign, and I look in at 7 a.m., and who's there? Michael Magna. Carol Lee Fisher is there. Your staff is here at 7 a.m. 2 hours before I started. 2.5 hours, actually. Why?
That's a very good question.
I have a very good answer. Because they want to make an impact in your life. And they're making an impact in your life. So don't forget that. So what's your goal? Now that they've done all this, went through all this trouble, make sure you learn. Make sure you take that. Get the right tools. Take the job to the next place. So what are we going to look at that's going to help you? All these different new features. I went through step by step and tried all these out. And you'll see my tests. And you have to look at this and think in terms of your business. How will this impact my business? How will this make me more effective? How will this make me more productive? Most of all, in 11G, I think it makes you more productive. I think it makes one person be able to do the job of 10 people. Some people go, gosh, all our IT jobs are disappearing. They're not disappearing. In fact, when they project the demand for IT, they're not getting anywhere near the number of graduates that are going to be necessary. So no, nothing's going away. The jobs are not going to necessarily disappear overnight. So goal one, to me, is know the Oracle. If I look at Oracle, first 32-bit, first client server, first 64-bit, first web database, first Java, Linux, XML, you name it. What is it about Oracle and wanting to be first? Or should I say, what is it about Larry and wanting to be first? Teaches us something about life. You want to make an impact? You got to go. You got to want to be first. You got to try to be in the lead. You got to go get the best tools to build the best job. 11G, if we look at it, the focus seems to be acquisitions and market share, but in fact, there's a guy by the name of Andy Mendelsohn who's building all these things, still the lead. Still lead all the way back to like version 4 of the database. Wrote the B-tree indexes for Oracle initially. And what is Oracle development like? Very humble, very hardworking. Come from the stocks of Bob Miner, who was the first developer of Oracle. Who I remember Mary Ann Zarelli saying, you know, I tried to get him into a meeting, would never come to a meeting. Finally, we had this huge meeting with our most important customers. And she goes, Bob, you got to go to this meeting. So finally he agrees. Then he's got like this footloose tie. She said, looks like he shot his couch. Put it on. And she's like, you can't wear that tie. And she's like, I'm going to go buy you a tie. She literally goes out, buys him a new tie. She's like, this is decade version of a tie. You know, please wear this instead. So he goes, no, I'm wearing this. Mary, my wife gave this to me. Takes a pair of scissors, cut his tie in half. She goes, wear the tie. Came to the meeting, half a tie. That's what the developers are like. They're dedicated. They're dedicated to making an impact. Andy Meadows doesn't need any more money. It's got enough. Has several helicopters, from what I hear. It's big into helicopters. It's big to kind of have a helicopter. I have a few. Doesn't need any money. Why is he there? Wants to make an impact. They're making an impact with this version. One of the best versions I've ever seen. But if you look at it, security, you see? You see places that are going to make you more productive, allow you to make a bigger impact. So let's look at some of them. First one, testing the future version. I did this on 11106. I would recommend 11107. Very, very stable. But I wanted to give you the version I did these actual tests on so you can see that in case something changes before that. So what do you do? Let's say beginner DBA. What do they do when they get the new version of 11.1? 11.1.000. Like, wow, 11.1.000. I don't know what to do with this. Let me call my Oracle salesperson. Yeah, what should I do with this? And they're like, put it on. Right away? Absolutely. Should I test it in development? No, production. Beginner DBA puts it on. Intermediate DBA is like 11.1.00. Okay. No time for that. Throws it away. Advanced DBA goes, wow, 11.1 came out. Calls a beginner DBA. Have you put that on yet? I think you should put it on. Let me know how that goes. We could jump all the way. There were several people still on 9. 9.204 or higher, we could jump straight to 11.1. If I'm lower than that, then I have to jump to 9.208 first, and then I jump to 11.1. So Oracle's given us a nice path to get there. Also, Oracle knows you have problems on install. This team is a seasoned team, and you'll see several things that are looking out for you. Won't make the headlines, but they're there to make your life easier. One of them, checking to make sure you have space, making it easy to move to things like ASM, if you'd like to do that. Some of the other things, are your rollback set, table space, free space, is it there? You have any de-supported character sets? Invalid data types. It's checking a lot of stuff to ensure that this is going to work out for you. So that's nice. So I installed this. This was one of many versions. I actually worked with the beta of 11 all the way back to early 2007. I was going to say it came out in later 2007. So it's been out about a year and a half now. And I put this on, and then a beginner DBA gets to hear, like you're recovering a database, and you're like, oh, I sure hope this comes up. And then you get to hear, and when you're a beginner, you're like, yes, it's up. And then when you're more advanced, you know these two lines are very important. Oops. Then there's also Enterprise Manager, where I can look, database is up. What's the version? Where is it at? Got some problems, maybe. Oracle's already tuning them. Has some information here. We'll look at that. I ran some big queries. Make sure the CPU was pegged so it looks nice and colorful. Lots of people waiting. This is not how your system should look. Just so you know. Next thing. Just can't miss with this slide. Sometimes people go, I'm a SQL Server DB. I'd never run Oracle. It's way too complicated. I've heard about all these initialization parameters, hundreds of initialization parameters, even undocumented, probably thousands. And I'm like, well, in 11G, there's one parameter to run everything. Is that too complex for you? Or can you handle it? So Oracle said, okay, some people have a rather simple system. We'll make it easy for you. Now, you do have all the dials if you want to dial it in just right for a very complex system. But you have a simple system. They made it so there's only one parameter. And that parameter is memory target. And if you've been with Oracle a while, you've seen Oracle 9i SGA max. Then they started going SGA target and 10G. We're taking the data cache, TB cache size for data, and then also the shared pool for statements. Those memories combined them into one parameter. You should always set minimums when you use these, just to let you know. So Oracle doesn't, you know, move something to one area and take away too much from the other area. Now Oracle has added memory target, SGA and PGA, all in one. So if I look at this, you can see the SGA. Now Oracle's saying, okay, everything, one parameter. We're going to make it so easy to use this. And you could also use Enterprise Manager to look at, you know, how much is in the PGA, SGA? What's the breakdown that's out there? So I could look at how Oracle's managing things. I could manage it myself. I could set minimum parameters. If I know the shared pool shouldn't be below or above a certain level, I could set that. Below a level, not above. And once again, one of the big things is PGA aggregate target also. PGA aggregate target used for sorting, used for a lot of join type of things. That is now part of this memory target. So now I can use one parameter. Very, very nice. Another nice feature is the advancements they've made with ADDM. I know I had this slide once and people are like, Adam, ADDM, what does this picture have to do with it? I'm like, Adam, get it? And then they were like, no. And I'm like, yeah, it's just, there's no connection. ADDM, how many developers do we have here? DBAs? Most? Managers? A few? Tentative to raise their hand. Did I not mention somebody? Any other choice?
CIOs?
You don't consider yourself a manager? I made it technologist. I'm not really a manager. Just to let you know, CIO stands for career is over. Average life of a CIO, 18 months. He's like, wow, I've been employed for 17. If you're a developer, ADDM stands for a DBA, doesn't matter. You can tune the database now. You don't need a DBA anymore. So what can I do with the new ADDM? With 11G, I can now go across the entire cluster. Any granularity, cluster, instance, I could look at things moving between the nodes. And we'll see a little more on that. Stop doing that. That's the wrong button. If we look at ADDM briefly, I'm at home. Same slide you saw before. I have findings here. How many findings? And what's going on with my system? If I scroll down, I'll see all the ADDM findings. So what's ADDM doing for me? Not only does a DBA not matter, a developer doesn't matter. Nobody needs to look at it. Somebody's looking at it. Adam is looking at it. So how do you become more productive? Let the system tune itself. Take full credit, of course. If we look at ADDM, when does it run? Does anyone know? All the time? No. Nope. Hopefully it's not run all the time. Every hour. Very good. On the hour? Not quite. Close, though. Every hour on the hour, AWR pulls the statistics, and then AWR runs just after that. So some people are like, I run StatsPak and AWR. I go, when do you run StatsPak? They're like, on the hour. And I'm like, I'll bet on the hour is not too good for you. So make sure if you're running StatsPak, because you kind of want to cross over to AWR report, make sure you run it maybe on the half hour until you migrate that over. Now I'm going to go down and see these in detail. In this case, I have some hard parse issue. I could also, detailed findings, I might not understand something. Oracle has nice help there for me. In this case, it's talking about what a library cache lock is. So that's nice. And then what happens if, you know, it's 10:05? You know, you're like, oh, 10:05 and the system goes bad, you know, and then they call like, yeah, we got a real problem. And you're like, well, I'll let you know at 11:05. I got to wait an hour for this to run. And that's what you used to have to do. But now, you can run it right now. Very nice. And then, of course, it says, are you sure? Yes, that's why I press the button. And then I find my issue. And in this case, I have a CPU issue. And so then I look at, and you know, I was quite excited about this. And I was like, Oracle has done the database for years. All these incredible developers, 30-some years, over 30 years now, 32 years of Oracle data, they must know the best tuning tips ever. I've got to see what the answers are from this font of information, this oracle of, exactly. So I look at this and I go, CPU-ish, I got to see with this infinite knowledge base what the answer is. What would they suggest I do based on this? And the answer with all that knowledge is, consider adding more CPUs. I would have never thought of it. Of course. What was I thinking? Doesn't that cost me more? But you have a manager, won't buy enough hardware. You go, Oracle's telling us we got to add more CPUs. It's right there. I don't have to do it. I'll let people know you're not taking their advice. So it could be very valuable. But also Oracle gives additional help. So it's not just that. I can joke about it, but actually they give help, fix the SQL, which is almost always a problem. Some developers go, oh, the SQL's not a problem. I go, when your SQL's not running, system runs perfectly. So yes, it is the SQL. I could also look at this tabularly. The nice thing, though, in 11G is now Oracle is rack aware. So I run AWR on each node. Let's say I have a three-node instance. And I gather three sets of data in the workload repository. It's nice to see them individually and even compare them, and you should when you're in that. But it used to not tell me what's happening between them. Am I moving blocks between them? Is there locking happening between them? Is there some cluster effect that I don't see? Well, in 11G, Oracle is now looking at that, which is very nice. Also looks at all the other stuff, CPU, memory, I/O, SQL, PL/SQL, rack-specific, application issues. So ADDM really stands for a DBA does matter. The better you are, the better this tool is. The better you look at the advice and know which advice to take. So now let's look at some of the nice pieces as we go in, maybe to tune the system or to look at what's wrong. And I always say, you want to make an impact in the world? This is how you have to look at your job. This is how you... This is Carolee's, what, second cousin? Oh, that's right. He's got a C in the name. Look at how he's staring at the chess piece. Could you imagine just walking up and going, knock all those pieces down, what he would do? He's serious about it. And then somebody who plays a lot of chess, they go, he would put them all exactly in the right place because he would remember where they were. I was like, okay. Do you do your job like this? Are you this focused? Is there that level of concentration? You should. Because then you'll make that impact. That's key. So let's look at some of the new tuning features. Using SQL Plan Management, Oracle will give you different advice. Two of the things that we would do to fix things is do stored outlines. Stored outlines, just a hint. You can even go to the VDollar views and see the actual hint that it's using in the stored outline. So kind of a hint-based. Then if you find you're using the same hint over again, ordered table, ordered, in a multi-table joint, you probably need to change the indexes so that it will do it in the right order. So it's kind of, if you see a trend, probably something structurally should change. But a stored outline would give me that. Oracle has changed that, and it's calling it baselines now. Deprecated. It's discouraging the use of stored outlines. Still can use them, but now it's changing to SQL baselines. The other thing it had is SQL profiles, which was statistical information about how something ran before. What happened? So SQL profile, statistical, stored outline, hint-based. So Oracle is using these for you. In 11G, SQL profiles will be automatic. So automatically, Oracle is going to use that information. Before, you would say, use a SQL profile. SQL baselines, not automatic, but you could set it to be automatic so that Oracle is also building those in the background as it gathers information about how to run something. So how many people have been to this screen, top activity? I walk in, somebody says I got a problem, I'm right here. This is the first place I go almost every time. Because they have a problem. So I look, I move this little square to where the problem is. You know, just think you went to lunch, come back at 2:12. Oh, when you weren't here, the system ran horribly. But you're like, yeah, we're at 2 o'clock, I'll go back and run that. I can go back to 2 o'clock and see the sequel that was a problem. Isn't that nice? If you're not using this tool, you're missing out. It's that good. Then I'm going to go and I say, schedule this, create this SQL tuning set. I'm going to build a tuning set of all these bad queries. Now, really, I just need this one. But maybe when this one's gone, this one will look a lot worse. So maybe I better worry about number two, number three, number four, and so on. Then it builds this tuning set of all of the statements that I chose. Now I could actually see the SQL involved in that. And what it does in 11G, it didn't do in 10G, is has all these statistics, elapsed time. I could look at this, and I could see, you know, 10 million buffer gets. So 10 million blocks of data are moving through the cache. That's a problem, right? Just to let you know, that particular query doesn't bring back a lot of rows. So it's a big problem. The other ones, not as much of a problem. But I'm going to build a tuning set for all of them, just the same. And then it's going to advise me based on this. And it's going to say, for this bad query, which it's now moved to the top, you should gather statistics, which you don't have. And you should build a SQL profile, use statistical information about how it ran. And maybe even structurally change it. It has a few other changes. So very quickly, within really seconds, I have found out I have an issue query. It shows me what query this is. And it's a tuning query that goes to the buffer headers, $BH, or the table that holds each individual buffer in cache. If you've seen block level tuning, I did it here a couple of years ago. It talks about this in great depth. But I'm going there to gather information about what data is in which blocks of data. That's why it's very complex. And I get all kinds of statistical information about it as well, which is nice. Now I'm going to go to the SQL text to see different recommendations. And it says, if you build this SQL profile, I'm going to use this. It will help you 99.79%. And I could look at the explain plan and compare it to what it used to be. I'm like, well, I don't know. Is Oracle really right here or is it off? So I better look at the explain plan myself and see it. If you've seen this in 10G, these are kind of side by side. In the grid class later, I'll show that. But I can compare it to make sure I feel comfortable with this. And the better you are, the better advice you're going to take. And then also, I could store them in the system. I remember asking Bruce Scott, who is Scott Tiger, first Oracle developer. Tiger was his daughter's cat. And I remember asking him, you know, what does nobody in the world know about you and Bob Miner in the early days, you know, of developing Oracle? And he's like, well, he goes, let me think about that. He goes, you know what? Nobody knows we never built any documentation. And I was like, a developer that doesn't document something? Wow, is that insightful? I would have never guessed. He said, no, actually, we did have finally built like one page of documentation. He said we referred to it for like 5 years. So that was the insight that he had given. Well, now, when I build these, automatically I can get them in the system. It's stored. So the manager says, did you document that? And you're like, oh, yes, I've got it into my whole documentation system here. I store all profiles. I store all information about everything I ran. Oracle is documenting it for you. It's in there online. You don't even print it out. You go, no, I'm keeping everything green, just in the database. So I have these tuning advisors where I can look at individual tuning statements. I also have something called an access advisor, and these are my advisors. And an access advisor will tell me, should you partition a table? Something structurally wrong with an index. Maybe I need an index. I don't cover it here. The next one that it covers is SQL repair advisor. I'm going to cover that one next. How many people have ever got an Aura 600 error? CIO's going, Aura 600? What's that? Is that a good thing? I can tell you, I spoke in China once and he'd like say something and then people would react like a few minutes later after the translation goes through. I had some joke about Seinfeld and nobody laughed. I was like, "Don't you guys know Seinfeld?" I was, Seinfeld. No. I'm like, "You're going to love it." Does anyone know Tom's Restaurant? Anyone been to Tom's Restaurant? How many people? 10% of the audience? How many people have no idea what Tom's Restaurant is? It's here in New York. This is the restaurant that Seinfeld would go to in the TV show. It's Central Park Northwest, right at the edge of Harlem, I think.
112th and Broadway.
112th and Broadway, to be exact. DBA?
No.
What's that?
Chief Cook and Bottle Washer.
Chief Cook and Bottle Washer? So you know all directions? So up there you go to Tom's, it's actually called Tom's Restaurant. And the food is edible. I'll leave it at that. Or a 600, what is it? What does it mean? It means I went through the code. Oh, is it a 4031 shared pool art? No. Is it this air? No. I have no idea. I'm at the end of the code. Or a 600. I don't know what the error is. I remember my wife saying, "You want vanity license plates?" And I go, "Yeah. And I think I'm going to get Aura 600. She's like, "Aura 600? She left with this perplexed look on her face. What's that?
Google it.
Google Aura 600? I don't have enough time to read all those messages. So when I was in China, when I said Aura 600, immediate reaction. No translation was necessary. Aura 600, the whole crowd, oh, Aura 600. DBAs feel just the same as you. SQL Repair Advisory, what does it do now? Oracle says, "I know you get these errors. You don't want to wait for the patch. I'm going to go through compilation, execution, everything else, and try to find a way to solve this for you within your own system." Now, you should build a patch once you do this, just to let you know. You still submit a patch, so in the next release it would have it. So now I'm going to go to the alert section here, and I have an Aura 600 error. And I'm going to go to the next screen here, and it's like, look at the problem details of this Aura 600 error and the issues related to it. And yes, lo and behold, the problem details of an Aura 600 are not too voluminous. See all the details? So I'm going to click on the repair advisor. And when I go there, it says, "Yes, if you do this, I have a SQL patch for you." Now the question becomes, but is it as fast? This query actually took less than 1 second, less than 1 millisecond. So then, if I decide to implement it, I click here, but it tells me beforehand, what did it used to take in time, and what does it take now? This one was very fast. To let you know, is the workaround, you know, going to be too slow for you? So Oracle, not only giving you a way around the problem, but also finding out whether it's going to be as fast or not. And then it lets me know it's patched. And it stores this information in the system, so it's also documented for you. Very nice. Does anyone know who it is? There's a hint here on this slide. Somebody like Bobby Fischer disappeared, couldn't play chess if he tried. Came back, played Boris Spassky again, 1992, won again. People that have that look, it never goes away. You have that inside of you. You wouldn't be in this room if you didn't. You have that ability. SQL Performance Analyzer. Now I want to look at the performance before and after a change. I do an upgrade, application upgrade, some change on the system. I want to see a group of SQL, my batch reporting, whatever it is in your system. You have to know it to be able to test it. And you can now capture that, move it somewhere else, or change something and run it. Create a replay task, and then I can compare that before and after. And Oracle has some nice comparison tools. So here, I'm going through. I'm going to use this advisor, or the SQL Performance Analyzer, rather. And in this case, I have different choices, and I'm going to go through this guided workflow.
So I'm going to go step by step because I want to use that same SQL tuning set I used before. I could also do a parameter change. Now somebody goes, you know, half the people are telling me raise the shared pool, that'll solve all your problems. Half the people are lower the shared pool, that'll solve all your problems. And both are right, given the right situation. I can now try it out. Parameter change. Both ways. And then I say, how's it going to work when I upgrade? I can compare upgrade. Change the actual version and see how it's going to run. So I can do not only just, I'm going to tune this system with a guided workflow, but I can do changes. So I'm going to do a guided workflow to look at a before and after change. Before and after tuning in this case. So it goes step by step, gives me the steps of creating it. And I'm not going to go in detail, but I give it a name, put all the information in there. And then I do a before and after. And Oracle literally gives me the comparison. In this case, is before and after tuning the system. And you can look at the actual time has decreased substantially, but the number of statements improved was just the one. Just that really bad SQL was improved. The other, unchanged. But because it was the bad one I fixed, what a decrease in time. Then I said, well, you know what? I'm going to take the same thing. I'm going to do an upgrade, 10G to 11G. So I'm going to do this optimizer upgrade simulation and go through it. Sorry. Next slide. Oop. Don't hit that button. And I'm going to go and compare 10202 and see how it runs on 11106. I'm going to take this same group of SQL prior to tuning it and see if 11.1 will tune it even before I tell it to tune it. So I take the original set that when I tune it makes a big difference. I'm just going to upgrade it and see what it does. And what it did for me, made it a little bit faster, not as fast as when I tuned it. I had Oracle, well actually I had Adam tune it. But look, it improved a lot of statements. But a couple it didn't improve, and one of them was the most important. So on the upgrade, it didn't do what it did with the tuning pack. So the combination of those two, though, is where I could really make an improvement, which is always what I do when I upgrade. I should move everything over. Every upgrade I've ever seen, everything being about 95% of things, I won't say everything, 95% runs faster, 5% runs slower, maybe 4% runs slower, 1% runs much slower. And because of that 1% and the other 4% that's slower, everyone's upgrade is so slow. It's actually so fast, just a few things are off and you got to tweak it. So you upgrade, it's going to be faster other than a few things. Tune those, then it's a lot faster. Gives me the tools to do that, and I did this in literally a couple of minutes. This is not taking a long time. And then some people go, well, what about the whole system? My problem is not a group of SQL, it's the whole thing. I'm not sure when I upgrade it. Every time I upgrade, it's so slow. Oracle saying, we understand, we're going to give you a tool. Capture the whole system. Restore the whole system on another box. And then replay the whole week. Replay the whole day. Replay the amount of stuff that you want to show. So take the backup at an exact SCN, Monday morning, 8 a.m. Put it over here. New system. Then start capturing for an hour, for a day, for a week. You know, how much tape do you have? And then move it over to your 11107 system. And then run it. Does it run the same? How does it run for the week? An incredible ability to check to see if your system's going to run well. Now there's one big downside to this. What's the big downside to this? Anyone? I do have a whole set of hardware over here. Yeah. I could actually do it here though too. So here's probably take you a week to learn this well. There's so many different ways you could do it. I'm going to give you just short, this is some real quick how it works. Go to database replay. This is known as real application testing. I remember thinking Oracle, the acronym center of the world, will never use an acronym for real application testing. Then I thought, well, I don't know. You got a rat in your system, it'll find it and fix it. So I go to real application testing, and the first thing I do is capture it. Notice Oracle, step by step, capture it. Pre-process it. Why do I have to pre-process it? Well, the new system might have a different login, might have all kinds of different things. I have to set those up. And then replay it. So here, I'm going to capture it. It's got also a step-by-step across the top. It does a lot of nice things for me and tells me a lot of stuff. You know, maybe you should restart the database before you do this. Do you have enough disk space? Things like that. So Oracle's very nice at kind of giving me some subtle hints. Then it's do you want Enterprise Manager as a part of this? You know, or should we just exclude that? It allows me to exclude it so I only see the business part, if I'd like to. And then here I'm going to actually have some parameters, directories, logon information, naming things, and then I start the capture. Now, the capture is going, the job is running, and it gives me a lot of information. Maybe you should export your AWR database, restore the replay database on your test system, you know, make sure you make your changes, you know, don't replay, you know, you forget to whatever you're going to test on, you know, you're going to change parameters, you're going to change something maybe in addition to just the version, and then run it. So now I'm going to pre-process it. It's a very shorter step. Maybe I have a different logon information. I might also have different number of replay users. I might say, well, I have 1,000. I think I want to see how 2,000 will work. Or I might want to see how 5,000 will work. There's a lot of options in here. Like I say, you could spend a week. Then it kicks off that job. Now I'm going to replay. And I pull up that directory after I move it. But before I get to actually replay, it says, what, have you restored the database? You know, to the exact session? Did you make the changes, you know, that you're testing here? Have you resolved any external conflicts? Oh, the original system, you know, was maybe charging people's credit card. Maybe you shouldn't do that this time again, you know, on this system. You know, so you've got to set up those conflicts and resolve that ahead of time. It's telling you that. Very, very nice. And then set up the replay people and it starts to replay. Then it gives me a report. Capture and replay. This is just kind of a short thing of it. But I can either do exact concurrency, same exact time. You know, something's very quick, quicker. Still wait till the exact same concurrency that I had before. But I want the commits at the same time. What about data divergence? Maybe minimal in this case. Then I say, no, you know what? Don't worry about any of this. Just compress it all and see how much faster it is. Maybe because it's a lot faster. And then it gives me reporting on this so I can see it. So an extremely good tool to do what? To make it, to lessen the risk you have in going to the next version. Oracle's listening. The next one, partitioning. How many people have found when they go to a million row table, it's kind of slow, but when you do a SelectX from Dual, it seems so fast. Isn't it fast? Small tables are fast. Big tables are generally slow. It's just kind of a normal thing. Now you can do things to make them fast. But the best thing to do is partition it. So Oracle built us in version 8, range partitioning. So in this case, I could do department numbers less than 10 into this partition, less than 20 into this, less than... And then at the end, I had to have this less than max value. It was like my catch-all bucket. You know, I'm like, why do I have to have that? You know, they're like, well, that's the catch-all. And I'm like, why? And they're like, so you don't get an error. And I was like, okay, that's a good reason. Then in 8i... they said you can do range partitioning, but multi-column. So now I could say year, month, day. And here I'm doing four different quarters. So now a little more flexibility. Then in version 8i, they also gave me hash partitioning. You know, it's like, you know, I have account numbers. I don't know how to break it up. But you know what? I know why I want it to be smaller. Oracle, figure it out for me. Use some hashing algorithm and equally divide it into four pieces. That works very well with sequential numbers. Works very well as long as you use a power of two as your number of partitions. Then they gave us composite partitioning.
partition, subpartition, hashing, range, whatever you want, multi-column. Some people are like, I'm worried they're going to get rid of me. And I'm like, you got to do more composite partitioning. You do this, they are not getting rid of you. List partitioning. Almost no database has this other than Oracle. I'm putting it in the specific values. If I know my data, very valuable. Oracle 11G. Interval partitioning. There's also ref partitioning, which is parent-child relationship partitioning. There's also virtual column partitioning. I don't cover those. And there's a few restrictions of this. But what this does for me is it solves this max value issue. I don't put a max value, and of course I have to try it when they tell me I can't do it. And I do, indeed, get an error. 14400, better than an Aura 600, right? So now I say, well, let me look at what I have now. I have three partitions here, D1, D2, D3. I'm going to create it. Say, I'll put an interval of 10. I've been going by 10s. I'll just keep going that way. Now when I put in that part that didn't exist, it works. And then I said, well, what if I don't put it in just right? I do 40, 50, then 99. I want to see what it would create. Now, first of all, logically, it creates 2 billion partitions. They're not physically there yet, though. And then when I go to DBA segments and I see the partition names, I've got this sequence going, D1, D2, D3, and Oracle just picks it right up and gives me SysP41, which is exactly the name I would have used for the next partition. And notice when I jump all the way to 99, it's still just that incremental jump. I can also do partition compression. Compress just individual partitions. Sometimes it's faster when I compress a partition because it's very small and it's quick to scan through. Sometimes it's faster uncompressed. Well, now I can either compress or uncompress a specific partition. And I know Cheyenne is going to give a talk on compression. Now, this is basic compression. When you get into things like OLTP compression, DML type of stuff, it's a cost option, just to let you know. You can get more later today. But now I can go and say, compress this table, but don't compress this partition, because I'm using it all the time, and it's faster uncompressed. And if I do a data warehouse, in an Oracle survey, note it's an Oracle survey, partitioning, parallel, all heavily used when people use data warehouses. I always thought it was pretty interesting. The Oracle survey had all the pay options at the top. Then I thought, well, this is interesting. Data warehouses, people, they never do it. Back up the system, no problem. We just rebuild it. We don't back up. Other nice things that Oracle gave us, nice DBA features, like secure file. How many people do large objects and they go, oh, so slow? So slow. Especially when you get rid of an object and you reuse the space. It's so slow. So they just leave it outside the database. It's okay. I back up the OS. But is it encrypted like it is in the database? Is it backed up as often? Does it have all the recovery stuff? Can I do things like flashback? The answer is, of course, no. So Oracle, instead of improving large objects, they rewrote it and built something called secure files. And in case you think you can't lose data, Facebook temporarily loses 10% of photos on hard drive failure. Temporarily lost 10 to 15%. Was that the New York Oracle user group? You may not have that there. May not be there. Several drives failed at once, according to an upgrade. That shouldn't have happened. Several shouldn't have failed. Users' photos are safe, though, because we store multiple copies. They'll be back in a few days. Not the headline you want. So what did Oracle do when they rewrote this? They made it faster. Adding files using deleted space 22 times faster than large objects. So Oracle fixed the issues they had with large objects because they know you should be storing them in the database. Other things, result cache.
People always ask me, okay, your years of tuning. You know, you had the tuning book. It's been pretty much the top-selling tuning book for over a decade on Amazon. What is your best tuning tip after all these years and all these books? And I'm like, my best tuning tip is run it again. They're like, run it again? And I'm like, yeah. You know, the user calls you, says, this is really slow. And you go, it is? Run it again. Then they run it again. They go, wow, it's very fast now. And you go, that's great. Thank you. Have a great day. But it is the best tool. Why? Because it's in memory. Let's have a run it again feature. And we have one now. It's called the result cache. The result cache is, I did a sum of a lot of stuff and it's in memory. Why do the sum again? Just give me the answer. I joined five tables together and I joined these two first. Now I'm joining three tables and I'm starting with the same first two. Can you use that result? And the answer is now Oracle does. Automatically. Or you could build a function that does it, and it stores this cache like the shared pool in a result cache, similar to how you run like a shared pool. And then we did this on a million rows just to see, is it a lot faster? And the answer was about 3 seconds before and about four times faster after. If we could have ran 10 million rows, it would have been a bigger difference, or may ran something more complex. But it's a big difference. And then if you have disk caching, you know, maybe it's in memory kind of on the way. So how fast it is depends on how slow what you have is or how slow it is to get it from disk. Then if I run an auto trace on, it'll actually tell me if it's using it right in the explain plan here, which is also very, very nice. Another nice feature, invisible index. You're like, the problem with this third-party application? Too many indexes. Yeah, I insert a row, inserts to the table, inserts to index 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's like doing an insert, you know, 10 inserts. Just got to update so many indexes. Now Oracle says you want to tune third-party applications and you're worried about dropping the index. Now you can make the index invisible, alter index invisible. So, you know, you see something has too many indexes, you're like, oh, I'll alter the index is invisible. You get a call from the user, this is really slow now. And you're like, really? Alter index visible. Learn it again. Runs faster, better keep that index. Then you get to the end of the year, no complaints, drop it. Then they run year-end reporting, have another problem. Very nice feature. PL/SQL. Don't need a cursor when I'm looking for current value, next value. You used to have to do a select into to get the next value. Now, just this. Some people are like, well, I really don't have a really bad piece of SQL. I just have these select from duals that run like 5 million times. That's the issue. Can't make them any fast. Runs in 0.0001 milliseconds. So now, no cursor. Won't make the headlines, but a spectacular feature in 11G. Make sure you use it. Rebuild an index. Did you ever notice Oracle had this in 10G, and they're like, you can rebuild any time, any day, whatever you want. I'm like, seems kind of slow, though, when I'm doing DML. Oh, it does? You can do it any time. Then in 11G, I read the doc, and it says, well, prior to 11G, we actually had an exclusive lock at the beginning and the end of the rebuild. I'm like, that's probably what slowed it down. So now they've fixed how they do that. So the rebuild is much faster if you haven't seen it. Then some people say, rebuild, just coalesce, same thing. I go, well, not really. Coalescing, I move the leaf blocks into one, whereas rebuilding, I can move the index to another space, shrink the height of the index. You know, I've split the branch into multiple branches. I can shrink it so the B level is lower, and I can move it. Whereas coalescing is just moving those leaf blocks into the same branch as you saw in that picture. And then the second to last feature, optimizer statistics. Oracle's done a lot to improve the optimizer. And they really look at what are your issues. Some are current, some are future. Current issues, they say, you know, running a compute is too slow.
running a sample isn't accurate enough. So Oracle is now going to figure out the sample size and give you this auto sampling, the speed of a sample, but the quality of a compute. I've not tested it, so I don't know if it's faster. Another thing they gave us, stats by partition. You know, you'd gather stats and only one partition change. It'd scan all the partitions. Now it just scans the touch partitions. Faster. I gather stats, everything messes up. I can gather stats, make them pending, then try everything out. And here's just an example. It's by default, stats are published. Then I say, don't publish them for this particular table. Make it false. Then I look at stats. They're not there. Gather stats. Still not there. But if I log on and say use pending statistics, now I can check my query to make sure it's still fast. And if it works well, I can actually say publish those statistics and everybody will see them. So Oracle, listening to what's happening. The other thing, more of a future issue, is how columns affect each other. You know, we look at the banking scandal. You know, what's at the heart of the banking scandal? Does anyone know? Beta. What's the beta? Does anyone know what it is? The guy who built a huge algorithm to say, well, we made all this into one nice algorithm where all these different housing things are related and calculates it all for you. Used to have, you know, a team of people. Now we can do it with one algorithm and we just give you one single number and you can tell whether it's good or bad. Well, of course, what was the problem? The calculation wasn't good. The correlation wasn't good. So you're going to see more of that and being able to correlate things together. Correlation of columns. The season affects how many snowshoes you sell. Middle of summer? Haven't sold any. Sell more swimsuits in the summer. There's a correlation between what the season and the actual item. So Oracle has given us a way to do this. So let's say I go to cars.com, client of ours, where make is Corvette, limits it down. Statistics are good. It's what I expected. If I add in the color is red, limits it down further. That's okay. If I add and the price is equal to $5,000, well, Corvette already had it limited down to three records. The price didn't help me at all, did it? So the additional column, no help. There's a correlation between those two. So now I'm going to put a correlation between them. And the way I do this, if you go to user tab column statistics, and one thing I should say real quick is you do need the equals. Originally I had this as greater than because I hadn't seen anything in the docs that said you had to use equals. And somebody in the audience, this was early when I gave this particular section, somebody's like, oh, you got to have equals. And I'm like, are you sure? And they're like, yeah, pretty sure. I'm like, okay, sounds like you have to have equals. And after I asked her, her name was Maria Colgan, I said, you know, I'm rich. You know, how did you know that? And she goes, oh, I wrote it. I was like, okay, we'll believe you. So now I go to customers, and here's some statistics. It's kind of interesting they were in my talk. Anyway, I create now an extended statistics group, and I'm going to put it on country ID and state province. So this one, country ID 19, state province, I want to see, you know, what's the correlation? I think there's one there. And I create this, and it gives it this name. And when I go now to user tab column statistics, I now see my normal columns and this new column name, which is exactly what I would have chosen, you know, to put those two together. You know, I ran this in two different versions, exact same name. I looked at this probably for a half an hour going, it's got to be something there. So what do I find? Well, you know, it's really just the same as state province. So maybe this one's not so good. So I go ahead and I can drop that and it goes back to normal. So now I'm doing a correlation. Enterprise manager for the grid. If you want to know more on this, I'll talk about it in the next session, so I won't go through it. Some people think enterprise manager is this. That's, I think, when they ran it on the HAL 9000. It really looks like that.
And the managers are very impressed by this screen. I never use it. 11G, very similar. Some new features, though. The last thing, security in Oracle. It's gotten better. Passwords, case-sensitive now. Only one command to turn them off. Audit trail on the database level, on by default. Overhead, 1% to 2% based on Oracle's research on that, based on TPS benchmarks. But if we look at it, it's monitoring things you should be monitoring. Oracle saying, you should be doing these things. We'll do them for you, since you're not doing them. And notice the secure. I should have mentioned this. This is like a security gate. You know, is this your security? Is the gate really working there? And some people go, I have this open source database. You know, it has global roles just like Oracle. Or it has, you know, it has like one out of, you know, 1,000 features that Oracle has. They're like, that's the same security. And I'm like, not really. Oracle's first customer was the CIA. And so security was very important with version number one. How do you make an impact? Yeah, here's a typewritten page. If you look at the tuning book, I have like a history of data in there. YouTube, 2 terabytes in one day now. But the Fortune, combined Fortune 1000, all their databases, based on a Forbes magazine article, 1 petabyte each on average. Fits into 1 exabyte or 1 million terabytes. The next 9,000, only about 100 terabytes each, fits into another exabyte. The next 700,000 fits into less than an exabyte. You could fit everything in one Oracle database. That's power. Some people go, oh, the Oracle database, same as MySQL. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, are you kidding? They're like, MySQL's free. I go, no, it's not. It will cost you more. Things are accelerating. Years to reach 50 million users. Radio, TV faster, 12 years, cable. Things are increasing in speed. We feel the pressure of globalization. When these things happen between two countries, it's like you're in the same country. You think of like Canada, it's kind of combining. You know, here's China. I remember when I went to China, I thought, oh, I'm going to do this talk. And I got there, and it's a long story. My plane was late, but I got there, and I was like, oh, it's in Chinese. I was like, that's probably just the first slide. Like, oh, it's not. Oh, this is pretty bad. So, but they had translators. But I went through China, and I looked around just to see, is it the same? I was going through Tiananmen Square. They were like, no pictures. And it scared me so much, I took a picture. Accidentally. That's my story when I was there. There's China Mobile. Long story, but I spoke at a lot of places. There's Oracle. And then I went, spoke to some colleges. Exactly the same as here. You know, you talk to college, they're busy on their stuff. You're like, gosh, I can't keep their attention. And I went to a museum just to take a break, and they're like, the first word is Oracle or Jaguar. Then I went and I saw this thing called the brocade loom, and I thought that was interesting. The guy goes, yes. The guy who came up with punch cards got it from the brocade loom, the ones and zeros of the strings coming in. Then I saw this picture, fabric, coming out at the end, and I'm like, it's like the internet. And I'm like, we haven't progressed at all. Brocade loom. There's definitely hardship there. And there is a lot of people there. I went to the mall. I thought, gosh, all those people for a little McDonald's. Then my wife is like, where do you want to see? The Great Wall, Forbidden City, Tiananmen Square. I'm like, well, I want to go to Walmart. She's like, Walmart? And that almost wouldn't take me. But I eventually, of course, did go. And I said, I want to see if anything's made in America. So I did. And nothing was made in America.
A McDonald's
fan? Yes, look at that McDonald's. For all those people. Does that make any sense at all? But there was one thing that was made in America there, and it was Raid. Kills bugs dead, even in China. And then a newspaper reporter showed up, said, "Oh, we only have 2 million subscription here. Would you do this interview?" And I have no idea what it says. Look at this idiot try to use chopsticks. He tried very many times to pick up the egg roll. Unsuccessful. Oracle keeps growing. Last collab, make sure you see collab. Go to collaborate. That's the investment you want to make in your education. I was there when it was at Vegas. We had a slot machine. I even threw money on the craps table. Disappeared like in 5 seconds. And I was like, wow. I was like, do you have flashback transaction here? And they were like, what's that? And I explained it to them, and they're like, I don't think you should gamble. I'm like, I don't either. Want to learn a lot about tuning? It's in that book. When you're going through a tough economy, never forget this quote. When you're going through hell, keep going. Don't stop. Some people go, oh, things are so bad, they can't possibly get worse. It's the most likely time they're going to get worse. That's why you have to prevent it from getting worse. If you want it in Chinese, there's the Chinese version. If you're not a DBA, this is the DBA mind. We could fix all the wires, or we could put up a sign. Right? Do not touch any of the wires. This was some war room in the middle of the night. I was vacuuming the floor because they were scared to vacuum, and we had like candy wrappers and stuff. I wanted to try out the backpack vacuum cleaner. I'm still checking the system, though, somebody knows. This is how a DBA views themselves. If you want to get along with them, you have to think of them like this. They're invincible. Never forget, we're not far from the Brooklyn Bridge. It's where Washington crossed. He was supposed to leave early enough to get over by night, but guess what? He didn't make it. Right? Came from Brooklyn across. Well, this is actually the Delaware. Wrong story. A lot of ice. Oh, but when he crossed the East River, he didn't make it in time. Bad planning. But a fog rolled in and covered his retreat. So they got across. So then what happened? Then they had to cross the Hudson later, up where the other Washington Bridge is. And what happened? Didn't leave early enough again. Daybreak again, they're still crossing, a fog rolls in, saved them again. Crossing the Delaware, does anyone remember the story? There's like people don't know, it happened on Christmas. And some people are like, not really, it's the day after Christmas. And some people are like, it's Christmas Eve. You go to the web, you'll see all three stories. The real story is supposed to be Christmas Eve. Didn't get it together in time. So I go, okay, Christmas night, we're going to attack. But they didn't get across in time. Because there was, oh, that's right, there's ice. We didn't notice it. Should have compensated for that. Out of three pieces of the army, only one actually made it across. So they get there in the daytime. So their nighttime attack in the middle of the night, Christmas night, where Christmas Eve originally turns into daylight attack. But they won. These are the moments that matter. Life is not measured by the breaths you take, by the moments that take your breath away. You guys are the ones in the right place at the right time. Do something that takes people's breath away. You have the most powerful tool in the history of this world to make that impact with. Make sure you use it all. And thank you for coming. Somebody wanted me to sign this book when I was in China. They were like, won't you sign it? I was looking at it. I'm like, I've never seen it. And they're like, welcome to China. Thanks.
Thanks, Rich.
Okay, so we got a short break now, and we'll pick up again in about, ooh, let's say,
12
minutes or so. Rich's talk on
grid computing
up here, and the talk about Apex and getting your reports out on the Blackberries is downstairs.
Thanks.
Oh, still wearing that recorder.
Yeah, I'll keep recording. Michael, you've done a spectacular job with the user group. I don't know if I know anybody better. And you have a full crowd. Okay, now I can turn it off.
Yeah.